Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wood, A True Lover's Story by A.E. Vaya, narrated by Tortom. Chapter 1. Wood. Wood sat uncomfortably in the weak aluminum chair in front of the house director's desk, trying not to bear all his weight down on it. He was sure the flimsy thing had a 150-pound weight capacity restriction, and from the groans it was making, he figured he was testing it to its limits. Wood braced his elbows on his knees, reaching for yet another document he had to sign before he could leave the halfway house for good. Wood skimmed over the bullet points. Yes, I will report to my parole officer. No, I will not do illegal drugs. No, I won't engage in any criminal activity. Yes, I will remain in an AA program. No, I will not try to contact my victims. Signed. Agreed. Now can I please just get the hell out of here already? As if the director heard his thoughts, he gave Wood a tight smile.
One more form, and I swear that's it.
He chuckled loudly, which quickly morphed into a hacking cough. The stocky man had supposedly quit his two-pack-a-day habit, but it smelled as if Mr. Manis had just stubbed one out before Wood walked in. From what he understood, Mr. Manis was kicked out of the military for serving his own needs, and not those of his country. He'd messed up so much until he'd ended up with a gig like this, babysitting a bunch of grown men who'd also messed up once too many. Wood had learned early that life was ironic as hell.
You got a place lined up, don't you?
Yeah, Wood mumbled. Mr. Manis had to finish his cough before he was able to accept the final form. He skimmed over Wood's answers, then glanced at him over the rim of his reading glasses.
I see your new place is in Norfolk.
Wood didn't answer, noting those words weren't posed as a question. He knew the expression Mr. Manis wore. Norfolk could be a rough city, and he was advised to avoid certain places and types of people, since it was also where Wood had got into trouble. He didn't roll his eyes in irritation, but he'd already been through this with his parole officer. Instead, he listened quietly, while he stared down at his two trash bags totaling his entire life's possessions.
And employment?
Wood rubbed his hand over his beard before dropping his arm back to his thigh. He stared at the colorful ink wrapped around his forearm, his art, his designs.
Yeah. I'm going to stay on with the temp agency. It's kept me with steady work, so...
Mr. Manis nodded, and continued to stare at him for a long moment, as if he'd had some kind of telepathic ability.
You know, I've watched you around the house over the past several months, and you seem to stay to yourself. Quiet. Didn't make any friends, or enemies. You avoided the bullshit that goes on.
He glanced down at the folder.
I read your record, Mr. Wood, and I gotta tell you, the man that's lived under this roof the last 6 months doesn't seem like the same man that did the things listed here.
But he did, Wood gritted out.
The director cocked his head to the side, and Wood held his glare with his own.
You still drink?
No.
And more fucking staring.
The man on this paper sounds violent, angry, and quick, too.
The man on that paper did what he had to do to survive prison, all right? And I think you've been doing this job long enough to know that.
I have,
Mr. Manis snarled, leaning forward.
And I also know a man doesn't do the kind of time you did and come out fine, and come out as composed as you're putting on.
Wood got on his feet. I never said I was fine, because you never asked how I was doing. But it doesn't matter what you think you know. You don't know me, and I've done the required sessions already. So if you'll excuse me, I don't want to keep my ride waiting.
Mr. Manis rocked back in his creaky chair.
I hope I never see you again, Mr. Wood.
Just Wood, and I can make sure that happens for you.
Wood left the stifling office with his bag slung over his shoulders. The brisk February air felt good against his heated face,
as he stepped out the doors of his residence for the last 5.5 months. No more check-ins, bunk partners, curfews, and a shit ton of other rules he no longer had to adhere to. He hurried down the steps to the end of the long driveway, finally feeling like a free man. He'd gone from being told what to do every day for 17 years in prison, only to be released to Mr. Manis's mansion of rules and regulations. He looked back at the large Victorian-style home, then toward the long street that led out of the city toward the interstate. He almost stumbled at the realization of what that long stretch of road meant. He was on his own now, and shit was about to get serious. There was no one to tell him what to do and when to do it, and he admitted that fact scared the life out of him. But his good friend Bishop Stockley had done it, and he heard he was getting by all right since his release. He dropped his bags at his feet on the curb and stood leaning against the basketball hoop Mr. Manis allowed the guys to play on for 1 hour a day. He was excited to see his old cellmate again. He grinned a little at their hard-won relationship. It definitely hadn't been love at first sight. Wood remembered when Bishop first got to McDowell Correctional Facility. He was a transfer from another prison, and only 3 years into his sentence. But he looked as if he was fresh in the way he trudged into the cell with tears in his eyes, as if he'd never seen a damn 6x8 before. Those first few days as his cellmate, Bishop didn't eat, he didn't exercise, and he didn't sleep. And when he did, he had horrible nightmares, and Wood had wanted to beat the crap out of him for causing him so much disruption. And he'd come damn close until Bishop began to cry out a name in his dreams. Trent. He found out that Bishop had been serving his time all right until he was forced to leave his best friend behind. His brother, who he'd sworn he'd never abandon, and he was terrified for him. Wood believed it probably would have broken Bishop if he hadn't stepped in and helped him through it. It was just something about the way he described this Trent that made Wood curious.
Wood. Are you leaving so soon? Say it ain't so.
A soft, silken voice slithered across the back of his neck and down his spine. Wood closed his eyes and took a deep breath, knowing exactly who that voice belonged to. His cock couldn't help but take interest at the slightest innuendo of sex these days. But throwing in a hot sex addict like Rain to tempt him was just plain cruel. Wood dropped his head back as slender fingers wore intoxicatingly through the length on top of his head, applying the perfect amount of pressure to his scalp. Damn, the guy knew how to touch a man in all the right places. Another arm wove around his waist as a hand eased up his torso, grazing his left nipple. Wood groaned as his cock pulsed eagerly at the mere thought of some action.
Yeah, don't leave me, Wood. Not before I get to hear you moan my name.
Warning sirens began to blare in Wood's head as he took a couple of steps forward and turned to face his, now ex-housemate.
Rain.
Wood was damn near panting as he braced himself against the goalpost.
Stop it.
Why?
He asked, inching forward, always so bold in his approach. Wood struggled just a bit more each time he had to turn the delicious man down. He was sex personified today, in a pair of tight black leather pants, a soft ivory sweater that made the gray in his eyes appear brighter, and an expensive-looking cream parka with fur around the hood. The younger man hadn't worked a day in his life, so Wood assumed it was another outfit purchased by his many admirers. Rain grinned smoothly at him when Wood's gaze instinctively traveled lower to the prominent bulge.
Ugh. Damn it, Rain, stop.
Even the man's name was sexy. That's why Rain kept up the pursuit. He said he literally couldn't stop until men cried his name in ecstasy. And trust, many of them did. It was a drug for Rain, his own form of high. But Wood liked the younger man as a friend, and he never wanted to take advantage of his addiction like the other residents tried to do. Rain paused at the firmness in Wood's tone, despite whatever lust he may have seen blazing in his eyes a second ago. Rain's gaze dropped to his black suede boots, and he seemed to curl in on himself right before Wood's eyes.
He saw the effects of Rain's addiction in his defeated body language. The shame. The embarrassment. "Thanks, Wood," Rain whispered, barely able to meet his eyes as he peeked up at him through dark lashes. "Not many men fight me off. You always do." "I'm sure it's not easy for you. And a lot of people don't understand your addiction, Rain." The young man looked so miserable that Wood wished he could go to him and hug him, but he knew that'd be a horrible trigger. All they see is a beautiful man wanting them, and what's better than that? "But you don't." Rain nibbled on his pink bottom lip. "Oh, I do. But I see a lot more than just sex in you. It's not how I start a conversation." Rain fisted his hands, then shoved them in his coat pockets as if he was struggling with not touching. "You're one of the good ones, Wood. But I'm afraid they don't make 'em like you anymore." "Let's hope they don't. God should have broken the mold after he made him." Wood didn't consider himself a good man, not even a decent one. He'd done horrible things to people. He'd ruined lives, taken lives. He wasn't anything. And he damn sure didn't deserve to lie down with a man as young and sweet and beautiful as Rain. So easily corruptible. Yeah, the guy had a record a mile long and stayed in and out of jail, but he wasn't a criminal in Wood's eyes. The government kept locking Rain up because he'd like to have sex. Albeit they were usually in public places. But didn't the justice system have bigger fish to fry? "Where are you headed?" "I'm gonna stay at a friend's place in Norfolk for a while, until I can get a decent job." Wood tried not to think about how long that would be, knowing he had to start from scratch. "At least I'll have my own room for once." Rain chuckled, his pretty eyes dancing when he did. It was as if he became a different person when he wasn't trying to be sexy. "I hear ya. I'm stalling as long as I can before going inside. I'm so sick of Jerome and his body odor, I don't know what to do. I swear if I step on one more grungy, crusty sock, I'm gonna hang him with it. Gah. And he wonders why he's the only guy on earth I won't sleep with." Wood smirked. "You'll be out of here in a couple of weeks, right?" "Yep." Rain stretched his lean arm over his head, and Wood caught a glimpse of smooth, pale skin over hard abs. He hurried and snapped his eyes back toward the road. "Come on, Bishop." "Sure am. It's back to the real world. Cocks, balls, and shopping malls." Rain sang. Wood narrowed his eyes. "I'm joking." Rain blew out a long, frigid breath. "I'm gonna try really hard this time to do the steps, you know. I got a decent sponsor now. She's nice. Thank fuck it's not a he. That rarely works out for me."
"You'll be fine," Wood muttered.
"I'm glad you have confidence in me, Wood. Maybe that's why I flirt with you so much. I'm safe because I know you'll say no." Rain's eyes glazed over with sadness. So pathetic.
"Look at it this way. You could have gone inside and started messing with any one of the guys lounging in the den, and probably not met much rejection. But instead, you stopped to flirt with me, knowing that I'd say no. You're fighting it, Rain, whether you realize it or not."
He seemed to contemplate those words for a moment, before turning a stunning smile toward him. "Yeah, you're right.
Find someone someplace safe when you get out of here, okay?"
Rain nodded. "I will. I'm going to my uncle's. He has that music shop I told you about on Cypress Avenue. He's got work for me and everything."
"That's good."
Wood was quiet as his mind went to seeing Bishop and meeting his longtime friend, Wood's new roommate, Trent. He had heard so many wild stories about Trent until he'd made the man out to be some kind of badass in his head. "I better go. I have a counseling session in a few minutes." Rain stepped forward, then hesitated before inching closer. "Can I hug you? Like, just a regular hug?" Wood didn't say anything as he stood taller and opened his arms. Rain touched their chests together and wrapped his arms high up around Wood's waist. Wood loosely draped his arms over Rain's shoulders and dipped his head to his temple. The slight man trembled against him, but Wood didn't believe it was from arousal. Rain breathed heavily against his chest as he buried his face near his underarm and gripped him as tight as he could. "You know what? I'll tell you a little secret," Wood whispered close to him. "I'm scared too." He held Rain silently, both of them lost in their thoughts and the unknown, as he waited for the only friend he had in the world, Bishop. Chapter 2. Trent. Trent continued to dust his classic record player as he ignored the persistent knocking on his bedroom door. He'd never had his own room, so he was looking forward to some much-deserved privacy. All of his life he'd had to share a room with either his mom or with 15 other guys in a dorm or with a cellmate. If he was lucky, sometimes he'd get to sleep on somebody else's couch in their basement. He admitted he hadn't been excited about his best friend Bishop leaving and moving in with his partner Edison after only being together for 10 months. But that was love, he supposed. Bishop's dad, Mike, moved in with his girlfriend a while ago, so Trent was starting to get used to the silence.
"Trent, stop being an ass and open the door," Bishop barked as he banged on the flimsy wood.
"If you break it, you fix it," Trent yelled back. He heard Bishop's loud sigh.
"Me and Edison are about to go pick up wood. Do you want to come with us?"
"No." Trent clenched his jaw. What kind of name is Wood? He wasn't sure about the man coming here to live with him, but it wasn't exactly his choice. This wasn't his trailer. Although he sometimes wished it was owned by Bishop's dad, Mike. And while he was grateful to have a place to rent, he had no say in who else Mike allowed to room there. Trent was 29 years old, and he was beginning to believe that this was as good as his life was going to get.
"Can I come in?"
Bishop huffed.
"Yeah,"
Trent finally answered after pasting on a phony smile. The door clicked and his best friend strode inside his room. Bishop opened his mouth to continue his fussing when his gaze traveled around what used to be his dad's bedroom.
"Holy shit! What have you done in here? Has Mike seen this?"
Trent smirked. "Nope." He didn't really want anyone in his personal space. Bishop would be the only exception every now and then.
"He's going to want to move back in when he does, especially since he and his girl have been struggling. This looks nothing like the boring room he had."
"I basically had a blank slate to work with." Trent stared at the various album covers and posters of famous musicians, now covering almost every open space on the walls.
"Mike only came in here to sleep, dress, or have sex," Bishop said nonchalantly.
He and his dad had a unique relationship, more like best friends instead of father and son. The minimal age gap between them had a lot to do with it.
"I see you're still into all this bluesy stuff."
Bishop walked over to Trent's prized possession, his sound system. "It's not just blues, Bishop. I don't sit around listening to Muddy Waters all night. It's rhythm and blues, man. Miles Davis, Clapton, James Brown.
I like some of the newer R&B stuff, I guess. But I think I'll stick with my rock. It's more upbeat, uplifting. Although Edison has me listening to a lot of Dave Matthews Band lately."
Bishop bent forward to get a better look at Trent's setup.
"I didn't know you still had this."
Trent squeezed the dust cloth in his hand as Bishop reached out to touch one of the levels on the equalizer.
"Don't mess with that."
Bishop yanked his large hand away as if he'd been smacked with a ruler. His friend stood to his full 6'2" and scowled down at him. Trent laughed.
"I have them set just right."
Bishop stared at him for a moment, and Trent struggled not to squirm under the intense scrutiny. He knew what Bishop was doing, but he wasn't in the mood to be read or freaking analyzed.
"I didn't even know you still had his stuff."
"Sil kept it in her attic for me while I was locked up, and when I got out, I never bothered to set it up again at her place." Trent stepped away and returned the vinyl album he'd been dusting to its sleeve. "I knew me and her weren't going to work out my first month home, so I moved it all to storage." Bishop continued to study the changes Trent had made to the room over the past few weeks. New lamps set on the end tables, Pictures and photos that represented him were now on the walls. He had clothes hung in a closet for once, and not crammed into a suitcase or footlocker. He'd even splurged and gotten a new queen mattress and flannel sheets for the bed. Trent always liked the way they felt in the winter, and he never had his own bed to put them on. Mike was nice enough to leave the flat screen sitting on top of a black chest of drawers, but he wasn't much into the crazy shit on television these days. Trent loved music. He wasn't a musician by far, and he couldn't sing a decent note if his life depended on it. But there'd been a man who'd introduced a bit of serenity into his chaotic mind by way of rhythm and blues. Someone very special to him a long time ago.
"I can't believe he let you keep all of this," Bishop whispered. "This is like vintage. That's the right word, right?"
Trent smiled at his friend. "Yeah, man.
All of this equipment is in pristine condition, too. It's got to be worth a lot of money."
Trent frowned. "It can be worth $1 million. I don't give a fuck. It's mine. He wanted me to have it." Bishop put his hands up as if he wasn't looking for trouble.
"He might did. Besides, I'm sure he would have come back and..."
"Didn't you want to ask me a question or something?" Trent uttered. Bishop snapped his mouth closed as Trent tried to avoid the awkwardness that seeped into his small sanctuary. He hadn't wanted his best friend to finish that sentence because he knew it was true. It'd been 13 years. If Miles had wanted his equipment back, or if he was interested in seeing Trent, he would have done so by now. Instead of letting the knot form in his chest any time he thought of Miles, Trent exhaled the ache. Bishop cleared his throat and muttered,
"Nice comforter. Is that, down or something? Edison has one."
Trent dropped onto the plush gray blanket on his bed and stared at Bishop, waiting for him to get to the point. He'd come to terms with the fact he'd lost his favorite hangout partner to love months ago. He wasn't delusional to think he was still important or a priority in Bishop's life. They'd both been released from prison around the same time, a little over a year ago, and everything had shifted. They'd had to grow the fuck up. Bishop was the first to accept that they weren't the knuckleheads that used to rip and run the streets, with little to no parental supervision. It was time to be real men. And the realization that his friend had moved on without him had aggressively seeped into Trent's mind, leaving him feeling deserted on a one-man island.
"So, I thought maybe you'd want to ride with us to pick up your new roommate," Bishop said,
as if he was going for upbeat, but it fell flat. "I'll wait here," Trent grumbled. Bishop pinched the bridge of his nose, and Trent almost felt bad for giving him such a hard time. His friend was between a rock and a hard place. He'd never leave Trent out in the cold, but Bishop owed his old cellmate his life. Offering him a place to stay when he got out until Wood was on his feet was exactly how Bishop would repay that debt.
"Come on, T. Just try and be cool for me, okay? You'll see Wood is a decent guy if you give him a chance."
Bishop went and stood in front of a picture of Trent and Miles, their first year at the Hampton Jazz Festival.
"I hope you're not upset about me moving out."
Trent scoffed at the absolute ridiculousness of that idea. "I'm a grown man, B. I've been trying to get your happily in love ass to leave forever. You think I'm upset to finally have my own room? I've been sleeping on that raggedy couch out there for months." Bishop frowned, continuing to stare at him, perhaps seeing right through his bullshit. Trent leapt up and headed toward the door.
"Is Edison cooking? Something smells good."
Trent didn't bother glancing behind him. He could hear Bishop's heavy boots following him down the narrow hallway. Damn it. He did need to chill out. All the anxiety of meeting Wood had given him terrible headaches the last few days. While unpacking all of his possessions from his storage and getting his room in order had kept him pretty distracted, he still couldn't shake the nerves he was feeling at the thought of a stranger, a recently released from prison stranger, sleeping a few feet across the hall from him.
"Trent, I'm still talking...
Edison!" Trent shouted, startling Bishop's boyfriend. Edison flinched as he stood in the small kitchen, stirring a steaming pot of something that smelled delicious. "This place only smells good when you come over. Leave Bishop and come cook for me full time." Edison turned around with a soft grin on his round, handsome face. "You can't afford me, Trent." "Or you could just tell him you're not interested in leaving me." Bishop growled at his partner. "What's this? Smells like chicken." Trent leaned over Edison's shoulder, although they were about the same height, and tried to remove the lid when his knuckles got popped with a wooden spoon. "Shit! Ouch! Wash your hands. I don't know what you've been doing back there all this time." "That actually hurts, doesn't it?" Bishop laughed at Trent as he held up his own red knuckles. "Come on, guys. We better go or we'll be late. That won't be a good first impression, huh, Trent? It'll take us at least 30 minutes to get to Suffolk if we can avoid any traffic." Edison turned the stove off and wiped his hands on the dish towel. "I was thinking when we get back we could eat the stew, talk, and get to know each other." "Wood's not that big of a talker, babe. And we don't want to overwhelm him as soon as he gets here." Bishop stood behind his boyfriend and rubbed his shoulders through his trendy button-up dress shirt, whispering in his ear, "Let's hold off on the sharing session for a while." Trent stood with his back to them as he washed his hands at the kitchen sink. He needed to think of a way to get out of this car trip. Meeting Bishop's other best friend like that would just make things weirder than they were already going to be. "I think I'll just wait here. No need for a welcome wagon to show up." "Trent," Bishop sulked, which looked ridiculous on a man his size. "You promised." "And I'm keeping that promise, all right?" Trent plastered on a huge grin. "Me and Wood are going to get along great. You're worrying for nothing." "All right, whatever." Bishop took Edison's hand and strolled across the small dining room toward the front door. He absently helped Edison into his coat as if he did it all the time, and Trent again found himself looking away. Sometimes Bishop and Edison's love for each other was damn near blinding. "We'll be back soon. Keep everything nice and neat." Trent almost threw the stew spoon at the door after Bishop left. Who the hell did he think had been cleaning this place from top to bottom for 3 days? He glanced around the trailer as the silence slowly began to sink in. He went to the window and watched as his only friend in the world got farther and farther away. Literally. Trent wondered why he always paid the price when anyone around him found happiness. Chapter 3. Trent. Trent reclined farther in the chair when he heard a car pull into the driveway. He was going for nonchalant because otherwise everyone would notice his frazzled nerves at meeting the stranger. The door swung open, and Mike rushed inside as if it was -20 degrees outside instead of 42. Bishop's dad loudly stomped his hiking boots on the small square of linoleum at the front door before coming farther inside. Trent sat up and gave Mike a pound as he looked around the empty space.
"B and Edison aren't back from picking up Wood yet?"
"Nope," Trent mumbled.
"They must have hit traffic on the high-rise bridge,"
Mike said with his back to him as he grabbed one of the few beers out of the refrigerator and drank half of it before grabbing another. "Help yourself to something to drink while you're in there."
"I see Edison was here. What kind of soup is this? I'm starving,"
Mike asked, while grabbing a spoon and bowl.
"Get over here, big head. I want you to look over this lease."
Trent paused his video game and tossed his controller to the side. He scowled at Mike when he sat at the table, and watched him take some folded sheets of paper out of his back pocket. "What the hell is that?" Mike glared at him with the same expression Bishop possessed.
"I already said it's a lease. Nothing major. Just what we've already agreed to."
Trent huffed. "Exactly. We already agreed. A man's word ain't no good anymore."
"Where the hell do you think we are? Texas?"
Mike laughed. Trent took the paper and skimmed over the bullet points. While there was nothing in there that wasn't unreasonable, he still didn't like it. Did Mike and Bishop not trust him all of a sudden? There were two places at the bottom for the tenants to sign. Mike's illegible signature was already scribbled across the field labeled owner or property manager.
This
sample complete. Ready to continue?